In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
It's Coolest Conversations podcast time, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage. I'm the Mighty Manfred. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow, subscribe, rate, and review. My guest today is Tommy Boy, the drummer and a founding member of the contemporary garage rock band Stupidity, based in Stockholm, Sweden. Their new single, Save Me, is a recent coolest song in the world, and we'll hear a bit of that now, followed by my chat with Tommy on your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Coolest Conversations time at Little Steven's Underground Garage. I'm the Mighty Manfred, and joining me today is Tommy Boy, the drummer in Stupidity. Their latest single is Save Me, and it's our coolest song in the world this week. How are you, Tommy?
I'm fine over here in Stockholm, Manfred, except for the cold weather that you don't have over there, I guess. But yeah, otherwise, everything's fine, and the world is crazy, but what can you do? As fine as it can be.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, here in Southern California, it is not very cold, but elsewhere in the U.S. These last few weeks, it's actually been really, really cold. In fact, another thing you mentioned about the world being sort of a wackadoodle these days, here stateside, the rollout of the vaccine has been slow, but people are still getting it. How are things in Sweden with regards to COVID-19 and vaccinations, et cetera?
Not that great, I'm very afraid to say. There's been lack of vaccine. There also be priority groups that has changed from different ages. So the latest in Sweden is that everyone should have the vaccine to by July. So it's pretty far away because we got, with 12 million people in Sweden right now. So the priority is the oldest people and people living in old people's homes, people working with them, hospitals, and then the group from 65 up to, whatever. And that's a very big group, very big group.
Well, that's interesting because you said July, right? That most, you think that everyone would get their vaccinations by July?
Everyone should have it by July. That's the latest, but who knows? In these days, what can you believe when it comes to vaccine or anything else? Everything changes all the time here. And you have, talking about lockdowns, what's going to close, what's going to be open. In this particular area, we're talking about music. There's nothing. There's nothing going on at all. And the pubs are open. With limited seating until 8 in the evening. That's the deal right now, but there's no live music at all anywhere.
Wow. Well, here they talk about everyone in the U.S. supposedly getting vaccinated, those who want to get vaccinated by July or the end of July. So perhaps, if we can set that as a goal, maybe by the fall we can rock out together again.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years since they rocked out with Manfred. It was in fact in Boston three years ago.
Yeah, they're in Boston at the Middle East.
Yes.
We had to go to the Middle East to play with our Swedish friends.
Yeah, the Middle East in Boston, at least, but yeah. not the Middle East where it is.
Well, one more question related to the viruses. Your friends, the family, have those close to you remained healthy?
Yes, I thought I had it, but I didn't have any antibodies. So who knows? I think yeah. I had it, but I didn't. I'm not sure. Otherwise, both family and two of the band members have had it. It's didn't have the bad version. I guess they were sick for 8-9 days, fever, yeah. headache, coming and going, and they tested positive mm-hmm. for COVID and antibodies. So that's the deal. And no, quite a few people has had it, but now everyone's working from home and so on. So, I mean, some people are very isolated that live outside the city.
Mm. I'm glad to hear that, your band members that had it wasn't more serious and that they are better now. So again, a lot of changes in the world beginning last year, but also a lot of changes in stupidity. You've had some members swap out. So who is new in the band?
New in the band is the guitar player. He's called Janne, and he's a guitar player. I didn't really know him, but I've seen him play. He plays in a couple of different bands. Now it's mainly a ska band called the Scandalites, mm-hmm. which is a big band with horn section and that stuff. He plays guitar and sings with them. And really great guitar player and also a songwriter, we have found out now. So he started writing some really cool songs. And the other new member is the bass player. She's called Ulrika, and she has never played in any band before she joined Stupidity, which is exciting. But she is very talented. She can play bass, guitar, saxophone. She's been a soprano singer in a choir. So a very musical person. And I can say you can see how she develops the bass playing, and it's fantastic. I mean, started playing bass 3 years ago, so she's fantastic.
Wow, now this is really interesting. So you said that with Ulrika, she has not been in a band before, is that correct?
No, she's never played in a rock band before.
In a rock
she played
band
with before. People, friends and so, but she's never been on stage or played with any band members or any band.
Well, what would possess her to want to be in a rock band?
I did.
Well, great.
In fact, she's a workmate. She's a workmate to me.
Oh, okay. She's a co-worker. And yeah. And so how did you reach out to Yame?
I reached out to him after a show. In fact, when the Scandalites played, and I talked to him and said, had some ideas about we needed a new guitar player. And he was interested, and we tried him out, and it went out really well. I think he was very adapted, and when you play, ska and garage rock or rock is quite different, but I think it was something he has wanted to do too, like, mm-hmm. Get some new views in the music too, and the combination of this is really exciting, I think, with this happens in all bands, that you change members or members go away. I mean, that happens, so it's taken a while, and now, of course, the timing was a bit bad because all this happened just when the COVID came. So no shows and blah, 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 We were thinking of what going to do now. And we decided to make an album, and that's what we have done.
Let's talk some about the album and Keith Strang of the Fleshtones' involvement. But I want to get something straight here. So the new single and our coolest song in the world this week is Save Me. And my notes say that playing on that is your former guitar player and bass player, PA on guitars, and Miss Anna on the bass. So are they on Save Me?
Yeah, that was the last recordings we did together. So that they on Save Me. And that was the last thing we did with them before they left the band. And then the new member came in. So after that, we have recorded, but we haven't released anything. So this was the last, you can say, thing we did with them. And this is just it's a single, digital single, released.
And so I spoke with Keith String of the Fleshtones last fall, around the time that their album Face of the Screaming Werewolf came out. And I was surprised when he told me that he was in Sweden. I mean, like you and I are talking here now. It's like, oh, hey, how's it going? And he's like, yeah, I'm here in Sweden. And I was like, what? What are you doing in Sweden? And he's, oh, yeah, I'm living here now. You know, I'm hanging out with the guys in the Stupidity and we're rocking out. And we got a side project thing and I'm doing some shows. And I was like, what in the world are you doing in Sweden? So how did you hook up with Keith String and what in the world got him in Sweden?
His girlfriend.
Okay.
Yeah, she got him here, but he's been here off and on for they've been together for a while. Not exactly sure, but it's 6, 7, 8 years maybe, something. And so yeah, he's been quite a lot in Sweden, but he was here when the COVID thing, when the lockdown came, so he was like locked out. So he was here and everything was cancelled for him. I mean, all the Fleshtones shows were cancelled for him. His other bands, the Split Squad, he plays with Clem Burke and those guys, everything cancelled. And he couldn't go anywhere. And he couldn't travel or anything. So he said that, you know, could we jam or play with us? And that was just when we got the new band together. So he was like, you know, the fifth member. And him, and he's great to work with. He has so many ideas and he's been in business for such a long time. Really cool, funny guy. And he's a great guitar player. So, I mean, that was fantastic. And, you know, he's been part of the songwriting for the new songs that's coming up and really cool. So we're really thankful that he was here. He also played guitar when our guitar player was sick in COVID. So that was great. We had Bianca, otherwise we wouldn't have any guitar player. So he stood in for him for, I think, a month or something.
Okay, so he stood in for PA or he stood in for Janne?
For Janne, for the new one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You mentioned Keith helped to contribute to the new single, Save Me. Whose idea was the song originally?
Yeah, I think it was the whole band. I think Ernest, the singer, Björn, has the lyrics and we other, I think PA came up with the guitar and I think Keith, in fact, came up with the guitar riff when we were pretty late in the production with the song and he came up with that. So, he always had cool ideas. So I think it all together, it was a really cool song. So, I mean, we're glad that it's got released now so we could, you know, enjoy it because we all love it. So it's great that it came out either now members changed, but I mean, we still play it live. So that's for sure. It's a great song.
Yeah. In fact, I wanted to add that guitar riff is so killer. It's really interesting to hear that Keith was, you know, had a hand in that. And also the bass line in there, I really dig. It makes me think first of that Gene Vincent song, Bird Doggin'. It's just a very cool vibe. So you recorded that with Keith. What was that like? I mean, that was during the COVID time. So were you recording all separately or did you record together? What was the procedure?
Yeah, okay. We recorded, that was recorded, in fact, before COVID.
Okay.
So we could stand close to each other in the studio. But everything else that we have recorded after that has been, you know, it's been a bit, you know, they have to have mouth protection in studio. And I mean, it's very hard to record too when you, if you want to follow the rules and especially where there's other people in the studio. So I don't know. I guess the same problem for everyone who's been recording this last year. I mean, what can you do?
Well, I know some people, and with my own band, The Woggles, we have not technically savvy enough to figure this out, but there are people that, you know, will record their tracks separately and then send them back and forth to one another. That's just something we haven't really explored or tried to do. How do you feel about that? Or would you prefer not doing that if you can, in fact, get in the studio together?
Yeah, I think we always love to, with the old members and the new members, we always love to play like the backgrounds together in the room, especially to get the bass and drum set, and then maybe just you know, guitar just doing the chords, and then you add everything else to that afterwards. I think that's it's the best way for me to work, because having just one instrument put on, I would like to have the live feeling. But still well-produced stuff. So I think the live feeling is very important because, I mean, I think it was like before, we we have been a cool live band, and that's what we want to continue. So I think it's the live feeling should be there when you do this. I think it's best way to record, really.
So I watched the video for Save Me, and the features you guys in a car, a key string, driving a car. But the other part is you guys playing, and is that your practice space that you're in?
Yeah, that is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you see Keith driving the car, but he's not in the actual playing footage. Why is that?
I think maybe we already recorded in the rehearsal space. In fact, he was in France when we did that recording. Uh-huh. I don't think he was here, but I also think it was pretty cool too that he just, you know, drives around a bit in the car.
Yeah. What kind of car is that?
It's a Camaro. From the 80s, I think. I'm not a car expert, but I think it's from the late 80s. Something.
It looks like that. Yeah, I'm not surprised. It looks like kind of a... So what is the Camaro doing? How many Camaros are driving around in Sweden? I can't imagine there's a lot, and especially 80s models.
No, but quite a few Camaros, I guess. It's a Camaro club. I don't know if you think there's one local in Stockholm too, when you have, you know, American cars has always been a big thing in Sweden. Long time ago, and it's they really take good care of them. So they have like caravans in the summer when they cruise. And I think three people I know that has a Camaro. In fact,
oh, that's cool. Making me think of the story where we had been to Japan and played a couple of times, and we have toured with Guitar Wolf over there, and he has a proper American, I can't remember if it's a Chevy or a Dodge. I'm thinking it's like a Chevy, but like a custom tricked out van, and with a big pilot seats. I mean, it's so huge, a big boxy giant van, that it's really hard for them to get through some of these side streets over there. When we were trying to play the clubs, it was really hard to get up to the clubs because the van was wider than the streets, you know? And it's funny to hear them talk about, you know, like you're saying, there's this kind of fascination, with American cars. It's not uncommon, you know, and so the same thing there. And of course we always, touring in these vans, we would think, man, you know, the gas is just way too expensive. And they mentioned that too, but they were like, but it is so comfortable. It's so comfortable. Anyway.
Yeah. Maybe they got a big interest in American cars too. But I mean, in Sweden, it's been since I was a child. I can remember. I mean, even then, cars from the 50s and so were really popular in Sweden. And it still is. I mean, in the countryside, you can see lots of very nice, you know, 50s, 60s cars in fantastic condition. So it's a big thing.
Well, if you could have an American car, like a 50s or 60s car, what would it be? What would you like to tool around in?
I don't think that car would fit to tour.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. I said tool around in, you know, kind of drive around, cruise around in is what I should have said.
I think probably Corvette Stingray.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, would it be a convertible?
Yes. otherwise, if you said any car, I like, you know, like we had on the first record cover, the Jaguar E-Type. That's one of my favorite cars.
All right. You know, so the late Fleshhammer, Jeff Walls in the Woggles, his wife has a Jaguar. And it's more of like they didn't have a Jaguar. She adopted a Jaguar. And by adopting a Jaguar, she was able to pay her mechanic's daughter's way through college. You know, it was always breaking down. Yeah. So we mentioned you guys having this video. Have you done any streaming shows? Is that something that you've tried out or are you thinking about?
During these times, you're thinking about everything. Well, how should you do it? I've been watching a couple of streaming shows, which, I mean, it's pretty cool, but I don't think it's that great. I mean, it's if you stream it for a while, but I've seen streaming shows that goes on for 1.5 hours, and if it does one or two cameras, it's even if you like the music, I think it's too long to watch for me. And I think the other ones agree too. So what we want to do now, that's also discussion, how do you get out with stuff, and that's video. So that's what we decided. Now the next thing will be to make a video for the next single. That's what we're going to do. So it will be another video, and I mean, it was fun to make this video. It doesn't have to be that expensive either. I think it's more exciting to see a video for like 3 minutes than watching 1.5 hour streaming, I think.
So what will be the next single then? You're still deciding?
No, we have ideas. We have 4 songs to choose from, I think. So
okay.
Maybe a song with some political aspects, maybe.
Maybe. Well,
maybe.
This album that you've been working on, so it's, you have finished the album and you're just planning, trying to figure out a release date for it, or do you know when it will come out?
No, we just finished it and mastered it. So now now the question is when or who and where it will be released. That's the where we are starting right now. So it's things are happening. So we'll start with a single, but I mean the album, we want to get the album out because of course we started to get on with those songs. You know, it's almost a year ago when the new band started up. So I mean, then everything's happened and all the trouble came, blah blah blah. So now we really want to get the album out. So I think hopefully we can release a digital single again soon, and somewhere in the next couple of months. That's what I hope.
Have you settled on a title for the new album?
I don't know if I dare to say. No, I can tell you. There's a song we were thinking about as the next single, which is called We the People. And I don't know if that could be the title of the album. But Keith Strang had an idea of the title of the album, which was the Disciples of Stupidity, which I think is pretty good. But I don't know if Stephen will appreciate that, but no.
Well, you know, it sounds good. It sounds good to me.
Yeah, I think it's fun. Because Keith usually says that, you know, I'm a disciple of stupidity, and so are Ulrika and Janne, and he points on them. So that's pretty fun.
Well, you know, this reminds me of something else. So you guys took the name Stupidity from the song. Is that correct?
Yeah, the song by Solomon Burke.
Right, originally by Solomon Burke, and I know other garage.
And then garage rock band. It's also a fantastic album by Dr. Feelgood.
Yeah.
And both Dr. Feelgood and Solomon Burke are like favorites of mine, and Björn and you know, the other guys too. We started it up with Stupidity 2005. So I think everyone loved it, and that then was fantastic that we got to meet Solomon Burke before he passed away. And I can remember he took my hand and said, "Tommy, never stop playing, never stop playing." And I said, "I promise you, I'll never stop playing." So that's I still keep my promise to him. So that's good. So,
wow,
he was really nice guy. He was in very bad health at that time. He did a show in Stockholm, but he was in very bad health. You know, he used a wheelchair and so on. So,
wow, Tommy. So the king of rock and soul himself anointed you to continue rocking.
Yeah, he said that he was so really appreciated that we took the name of the band after one of his songs. And so he was, you know, almost like got tears in his eyes. In fact, it was a really touching moment to meet him. And then, you know, he took us in straight away when I said it was Tommy from Stupidity. You know, I want to meet him.
Wow, that is great. But when we spoke before, you know, now you and I spoke, it was back in 2017, I think, was the last time you and I spoke, and I've spoke to Ernest and PA once, and I can't remember to which of you I posed the question, but I asked if you guys had ever covered the song, and the answer was that you had not actually ever covered the song. Is that still a possibility? Might you one day actually do the song?
Stupidity.
Yeah.
Yes, I would like to. That's a good idea. We almost forgot about it now when when all this new stuff came up and, you know, whatever. So we haven't, but me and Ernest, we talked about it. We did cover it live, I think, in some early shows when we started out the band in the beginning of like 2007 or something, maybe.
Yeah.
We started out and then we covered it, but we never recorded it. But it's a good, great live song, so why not?
Absolutely, I
can suggest it to the other ones now, and do it as a cover when you can get back on stage sometime.
That sounds good to me. That sounds absolutely excellent to me. Yeah. So we don't have any tracks to play from this this upcoming album, so our appetite will just have to go unsatiated for now. But we need to play a song on the way out of the interview as we wrap things up here. So we'll travel back into the past, back to 2014. And I want us to take a listen to the opening cut off of your album from that year, Fore, spelled F-O-R-E. And it's the track, the song King Midas. You kick that one off with a very cool drum beat, I have to say. Tommy, who wrote the song?
The whole band, in fact.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So, and most of the time, that is how you guys come up with material, right? You all contribute.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it's a good way to, I mean, someone has some idea, but it's usually not someone comes to the rehearsal room or just show us, this is the song, you play like this, you play like this, you play like this. And I mean, it's the same way when we write songs now. I even come up with a drum beat, you know, like this. Mm-hmm. You come up with a drum beat and said, I want it to be, you know, a bit like this. And then it changes, and I want the bass line, you know, heavy hair, and comes in. And then, now we can record maybe just drums and bass, and then we play it to Ernest, and he gets, you know, feeling about the vocals. And then we play it to Jan and now Keith too, and they listen to it, and then he put on some guitar. And that you can do by sending stuff to each other and adding it. And then we go to rehearsal room and try to nail it, you know. But it's good. It's a good way. So everyone on this new album, everyone has been very involved in the songwriting. Everyone in the band. I mean, even me, believe it or not, as a drummer.
Well, when you are contributing, do you contribute just solely drumming ideas, or do you add also to arranging ideas, or do you play guitar or some other instrument as well?
Play some guitar, but not in public, never. No, it's like, you know, like the campfire guitar. I wouldn't like to play that. But I can play some guitar, but not as a songwriter. But one thing I have done on this last album, I've contributed with some lyrics for a couple of songs, and also some even newer songs. You know, I got back to, I used to write a lot long time ago. I even got credits for my writing by Paul Weller, in fact, in the late 80s. I was in the Jam fan club, and, you know, he saw something I wrote in the fan scene they had, and they said, oh, that's really great, really great.
Oh, wow.
So I mean, I think Paul Weller is one of my favorite songwriters. So that was was a heavy thing to get when you were in the 20s.
Wow, very cool. You got to get Paul Weller covering a Stupidity song, or at least taking you guys out on tour sometime, I think.
Of course, I think so. He should, at least he could support us.
That's what I'm saying. Hey, man, Tommy, thank you so much for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Thank you, Manfred. It was nice to speak to you again. And we said it was 3 years we met, so hopefully we meet not too far away again.
Absolutely.
On a stage in somewhere in United States, hopefully, because we want to get back over there again.
I hear you. I've just, and all of us want to be able to play again in front of people. And, you know, the rock and roll world is small, whatever part of the globe we're on. So we'll cross paths again, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure we can get the Vogels over here again, too. It would be really cool to have you in Sweden, you know.
Oh, I hear you. I hear you. Mm-hmm. Right now, let's give King Midas a listen. It's Stupidity from their album 4 here in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
I
King Midas from Stupidity in Little Steven's Underground Garage. The song is off their 2014 album, Four, spelled F-O-R-E. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to the band's drummer, Tommy Boy, for speaking with me on today's Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Olivia Callahan for producing our podcast. Join me next time around when I'll chat with Mark Ribbler. He's Little Steven's Disciples of Soul music director, and he's got a new solo single out now called Shattered, off of his upcoming album, The Whole World Awaits You. And we'll find out all about it on your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.